I'm Jamelyn Steffen, and this is Want to Want It, episode number 14, Sneaky Little Thoughts. Welcome to Want It, a podcast for women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who are ready to ignite not only their sexual desire, but all of their desires to create a more fulfilling life and marriage. I'm Jamelyn Steffen. I'm a certified life coach, a wife, and a mother of 7 children. I'm excited to share my personal journey to desire with you and teach you how to desire more as well. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of the podcast, Sneaky Little Thoughts. I want to share this concept with you today because we all have some thoughts that sound really nice, but actually make us feel terrible. And as you know, our feelings drive our actions. So if we're thinking thoughts that actually create terrible emotions in us, we aren't going to show up in the world as the people we really want to be. So today I want to uncover some of the sneaky little thoughts for you in hopes that you'll start to catch other ones that sneak their way into your brain and make you unhappy. We often have thoughts that we know for sure are negative thoughts. We don't need anyone to point that out to us. The thought, I look terrible. We know that's a negative thought because we know it produces a negative emotion in our body. When I think the thought, I look terrible, I feel embarrassed, I'm frustrated. I don't need someone to tell me that that thought is negative and going to make me feel a negative emotion in my body. But then there are what I call sneaky little thoughts. These thoughts sound good, even pretty at times. They can seem like really righteous or morally superior thoughts. They may even seem like they are true or the right way to see things. But in truth, these thoughts actually feel terrible when we think them. And they aren't thoughts that help to propel us to become the best version of ourselves. These thoughts often create pressure or guilt and often keep us stuck doing the very things we don't want to be doing and not doing the things we actually want to be doing. Again, I want to remind you that as humans having a human experience, negative emotion is part of that. And the goal shouldn't be to eliminate all the negative emotion in our lives. But when it comes to sneaky little thoughts, the negative emotions they produce are generally really useless and don't propel us to good action. They most often keep us stuck in cycles of behavior we don't really like. So, how can you tell whether a thought is serving you or not? How can you tell if it's a sneaky little, sounds good but feels bad thought? First, you have to ask yourself, when I think this thought, how do I feel? Is it putting pressure on me? Is it filling me with shame? Is it making me feel resentful? Or when I think that thought, do I want to do something good and positive? What's the actual emotion that you feel in your body when you think that thought? And if it's not an emotion that's serving you, then it's not going to be a thought you want to keep. So today I want to share some of those thoughts with you so you can be on to your brain. I know I'm not going to mention all the possible sneaky little thoughts. But I have a few that my clients have shared with me and a few that I have believed myself. And hopefully by the end of the episode, you'll have a better idea of the sneaky little thoughts that are getting you. The first sneaky little thought I want to share with you is, I just want everyone to be happy. Doesn't that sound so lovely? It even has the word happy in it. So it's got to be a good thought, right? But ask yourself, how do you feel when you think that thought? I want everyone to be happy. For me, it almost feels desperate. It makes me want to try and control how other people feel, which is an exercise of frustration itself. It's a people-pleasing thought. And then what happens to me if someone isn't happy? Now I'm completely at the mercy of how other people feel for my own happiness. Now, if this is a thought you like and you want to keep it, that's fine. But here's what you can do anytime you're faced with a sneaky little thought. Remind yourself that's just a thought and not a fact. It's just a thought you're choosing to think right now, and you don't have to keep it if you don't want to. And then you can decide to think something different. So in the case of the thought, I just want everyone to be happy, you could instead choose to think, I want to be happy and I want to be a person that invites others to be happy. Or you could think, it's okay if other people aren't always happy. I can choose to be happy if I want to be. Do you see how the thought, I just want everybody to be happy, is focusing on things outside of you and outside of your control? You really have no power there, and you're really setting yourself up to have your emotions controlled by everyone else. And it also increases the chances that you will try to control others because you want everyone to be happy and then you can be happy. Whereas when you think, I want to be happy and I want to be a person that invites others to be happy too, now you're focusing on something you have 100% control of, and that's going to feel better to you. It's going to feel more empowering and less at the mercy of others. Here is one of my sneaky little thoughts that got its grip on me when I first started my coaching practice. I don't want my business to negatively impact my kids. Doesn't that sound like I'm such a good mother? I put my children before my business, which I really do. But the truth is, when I would think the thought, I don't want my business to negatively impact my kids, I felt a lot of pressure and anxiety. I found that I didn't spend the time on my business that I really wanted to, even when my kids were busy or not around. I tried to almost like hide my business from my entire family. They didn't ever really see what I was striving to create. And then I would struggle being completely present with them throughout the day because my mind was so wrapped up in how to build my business in secret. As a result, I made less positive impact in my home and in the world. In fact, I made no impact in my home with my business, positive or negative, because my kids never saw what I was doing, and all because of a sneaky little thought. Once I realized what this was creating for me, I decided to dump it and find a new thought that would serve me better. Of course, I still wanted to build my business and I still wanted to be a present mother with my kids. So I started to use the thought, it's good for my kids to watch me as I build my business. And when I would think that thought, I felt more sure of myself and more sure of how to balance my work and motherhood. Here's one that I have heard a lot lately. I should be content with what I have. How does that feel? Like defeated? Maybe even a little shameful? Because even though it has that nice word, content, what you're really saying is, I'm obviously not content with what I have and I should be. And that feels terrible. Now, this is a really good time for me to point out that anytime you think a thought with the word should or shouldn't in it, it most likely is going to be a sneaky little thought. I should do that or I shouldn't do that actually isn't going to feel very motivating. These thoughts are actually more discouraging than anything and won't propel you to action. I mean, who actually gets to decide what we should or shouldn't be doing? I think it's way better to say, I want to, or I choose to, instead of I should. But in the case of the thought, I should be content with what I have, why not change that to, I am content with what I have, but wouldn't it be fun to do or to have that too? It's acknowledging that you're grateful for what you have while still allowing yourself to dream of creating more in the future. I just want him or her to live up to their potential. That's a thought that can get a mom and a dad. It sounds so good. Potential. Such a good word. But again, what feeling does it create in you? We don't say those kind of things about kids we think are living up to their potential. We say that about kids we think aren't. So that thought feels very disappointed to us. It's going to lead us to believe that we know what is best for them, and that we know what their potential is. And then we're going to start bossing and controlling and fighting with our child about their potential. What else could you think instead? Maybe a thought such as, what kind of mom do I want to be regardless of the choices my child makes? Or maybe he is living up to his potential already. I had a client just recently who came with a similar thought. Her thought was, as her mother, it's my responsibility to be sure she doesn't become lazy and a time waster. As I coached her through the model this thought created, she realized that she was being really judgmental and really controlling. The thought sounded really responsible to her, but in reality, it created judgment and pressure that had her showing up really controlling, which she was the first to admit was not the kind of mother she wanted to be. And here's one that is related to this, and I think we hear way too often. That's what a good mom would do, or I just want to be a good mom. Maybe your version of it is, that's what a good wife would do, or a good teacher would do, or a good daughter would do. Again, it sounds so righteous. It sounds like you're on some moral high ground. You're such a good person for wanting to be that good mom, or that good wife, or that good daughter. But how do you feel when you think the thought, that's what a good mom, sister, daughter, wife would do? Now, again, this seems like what we're really saying is, I'm not a good mom. So the thought, that's what a good so-and-so would do, is probably going to make you feel shame or disappointment or pressure. I think you'd be better saying, I'm a good mom, so of course I'm going to do that. Or, I do that because that's the kind of mom I want to be. Do you see how different that feels? My kids should respect me. This thought sounds so logical, and it has the word respect in it, so that's good, right? But most of the time we say this because we don't believe our kids respect us and we feel angry or disappointed by this. Now, for me, I dropped this thought a long time ago. For whatever reason, it was really easy for me to get to the thought, nobody actually has to respect anybody, and my kids get to choose who they want to respect. Now, of course, I teach my children how to act respectfully to other people. Whether they always do that or not, totally out of my hands because I'm not with them all the time. But I realized that the feeling of respect, you cannot require anyone to feel. You can't make someone feel respect. So the reality for me is my kids actually don't have to respect me. Now, I know for some of you, that isn't going to be a good thought, but perhaps something like, I want to act in a way that will help my children have respect for me. That could be useful for you. Again, when we think the thought, my kids should respect me, it puts us in a mindset of trying to control them, which we can't ever do. And it gets us in a place of trying to control things outside of us. When we think the thought, I want to act in a way that will help my children have respect for me, we are now focused back on ourselves and on the one and only person we have complete control over. Here is a thought that another mother offered me years ago that I just recently realized was a sneaky little thought that wasn't serving me at all. Here's the thought. I need to be working hard because my husband's at work working hard. Now, this may have been a great thought for her, and I thought it was a great thought for me, but the truth is, I was already working really hard at home. It really wasn't in my nature to just sit around. I liked to be doing things. But when I would think the thought, I need to be working hard because my husband's at work working so hard, I felt so much pressure. And suddenly, everything I did, I had to ask myself, is this hard work? Is this hard enough work? If I was tired, I would just keep pushing myself. Even if I was sick, unless I was flat sick, which so rarely ever happens to me, I pushed. And if I was flat sick, I remember getting super bad vertigo one day, and I couldn't even move, I couldn't get off my bed, let alone move my body. And I just felt so much guilt about how hard he was working as I lay there. So even though it sounds like a really responsible, fair thought, it didn't produce goodness for me. It took me out of self-compassion and acceptance of what my life was and put me into a place where I had to be sure my work matched my husband's. I think a better thought for me is, I'm so thankful for how my husband and I work together to create this amazing life our family enjoys, or kind of something along those lines. It takes out the comparison, which is impossible. My work as a homemaker and mother isn't even like comparing apples and oranges to his life. Like, it's so different. The thought, they need my help, is another sneaky little thought that can get us. This thought definitely puts the pressure on us and often makes us want to try and fix things for other people. It thrives on the belief that without us, everything will fall apart for that person. I want you to know that if that is really true, it would be the rarest of exceptions rather than the norm. Guess what? People figure stuff out. If you can't help them, they will find someone else or they will work out another solution. Don't forget, God is always waiting to help and he has got those people. So don't get yourself caught in this pretty thought that they need your help. Another thought you could choose instead is, I want to help them. That's going to feel so much better and keep you focused on helping, not saving. Here's when I find myself thinking all the time, I just need to do better. I just need to do better with my exercise or getting to bed on time or eating good or reading scriptures with my kids. I just need to do better. Again, sounds so good, so goal-oriented. But what you're really admitting in this statement is that you aren't doing good enough, and that feels terrible, sometimes shameful even. I actually think for me, I'm better to just say, I don't feel like I'm doing good enough with my exercise. Because then my brain will go to work finding a specific solution for that. Whereas when I say, I just need to do better at exercising, I feel discouraged. I don't really make any motions to make any changes. But maybe a better thought for you would be to ask yourself a question. How am I already doing good in this area? And then once you've answered yourself honestly, you can ask, is there more I'd like to do now? By focusing on what is going right already, you're creating an abundance mentality in your mind. You're taking yourself to a place of sufficiency. And then from that place, you can really be honest about whether you really want to do more or not. And if you decide you want to do more, it's not going to be because you haven't done enough and it's not sufficient. It's just going to be because you want to. I've had some clients that tell me this next sneaky thought, but I've always done that for them. Do you see how that thought could make you feel like a victim? But I've always babysat their kids whenever they ask. But I've always driven them to school if they sleep in and miss the bus. But I've always paid her credit card off if she's short on cash. What you're essentially saying is that you now have to do something whether you want to or not. That thought makes you sound very giving and stable and reliable, but in truth, it's going to make you feel trapped. So what could you think instead? One option might be, I've always done that for them, but I'm not going to do that anymore. Or just because I've done that for them before doesn't mean I have to do it again. Or even something a little more honest, such as, I've always done this for them and I'm choosing to do it for them again because I want to, not because I have to. But I've always done that for them is almost a way of blaming it on them that you have to do it again. Whereas telling yourself that you want to do it for them is taking complete ownership of why you're doing it, because you are choosing it. The next one is one that gets a lot of women, I think, especially when it feels like their role as mother is in conflict with their role as wife. He's a grown man. He can take care of himself. Now, this sounds extremely logical, and I'll admit, I have thought it before, especially when I had my first babies. I felt like the time I had to give to care for the physical need of my little girls was all-consuming. So when my husband would come to me requesting something of me that I felt I couldn't do and at the same time take care of my babies, my thought was, well, he's a grown man. He can take care of himself. Okay, it's true. He's an adult. He is completely capable of taking care of himself. But when I thought the thought, he's a grown man and can take care of himself, it actually disconnected me from him and disconnected me from really showing up as the wife I wanted to be. Now, for sure, we had to make adjustments to our lives with little babies in the house. But instead of being willing to do the work to figure out how to be a wife and a mother, I felt like I was taking the moral high ground by being mother first and foremost, and he could just grow up and take care of himself. I think a better thought for me would have been to ask myself this question. Knowing my energy and time are now split, how can I still show up as the wife I want to be without burning myself out and resenting him? It would have at least got me to a place of curiosity, and I would have started to experiment with some things, some ideas, instead of just feeling like, well, I'm a mother now and he's going to have to work himself out. In some ways, it was true. As parents, we had to learn how to build our marriage with children, and we both had to kind of work ourselves out. But I didn't have to put my role of wife on the back burner of my life. I just needed to make some adjustments. Here are a few other sneaky little thoughts I came up with. I shouldn't care what other people think of. Again, that shouldn't word is in there, which never feels good. And what you're really saying is that you do care what people think of you and you don't think you should. Perhaps it's more useful to just admit, right now, I do care what other people think of me, but maybe it's possible to get to a place where I care less. Another one is, it's just who I am. Do you see how kind of final and defeated that is? How stuck that's going to keep you? You think it's a fact, but in reality, it's just defeat. I am all for accepting who you are right now, but the thought, it's just who I am, leaves no room for change and is even a bit like defensive. It's just who I am, you've got to deal with it. Even changing that to something like, this is who I am right now, leaves a little more room for progress, humility, and some change. The thought, I deserve better than this, can be sneaky. It's a bit of an entitled thought and definitely a victim thought. When we feel victimized or entitled, it's not going to lead us to positive action. Now, you never deserve to be mistreated. And maybe there are times when the thought, I deserve better than this, feels empowering. But I think it would feel even better to say, I'm going to create something better for myself. Now, there are lots of sneaky little thoughts that might catch you in your sexual relationship. And here's one. Sexual desire should just happen to me. First, that's going to make you feel like you have no control, and so you won't even try to do things that could increase your desire. A better thought might be, how can I increase my sexual desire? Is that even possible? Like, get curious. That will at least move you to act. Another sneaky bedroom thought is, I have to have sex to feel connected. This is looking to the circumstance, like intercourse, to create a feeling in your body. And it puts pressure on you to create that circumstance then so you can feel that way. The truth is, connection is a feeling created by what you think, not by what you do. So when you think the thought, I have to have sex to feel connected, you're going to put pressure on yourself and on your spouse. And pressure is anti-erotic and a huge libido killer. And in the end, if you're trying to control your spouse so you can feel connected, you're probably going to end up creating disconnection in your marriage. A better thought might be, sex is one way to feel connected to my spouse. Do you see how just that little shift takes the pressure off of the act of sex to make you feel connected? And here's the last sneaky little sex thought I thought of today. I should instigate sex more. Again, this is a pressure thought, and pressure and good sex don't mix. In fact, pressure is anti-good sex. And the more pressure you put on yourself to instigate sex, the less likely you're going to do it. And even if you do it, the less likely you are to enjoy instigating that, which is just going to make you dread instigation in the future. So maybe get curious. Why don't I want to instigate sex more? And explore what's going on for you. Or you can think, my husband is the best at instigating sex, so I'm going to leave that up to him unless I'm really in the mood. Or I'm willing to be a little uncomfortable as I learn to instigate more sex. Do you see how these questions and thoughts take that pressure off and open you up to possibility? Okay, that was a lot of sneaky little thoughts. Start paying closer attention to yours. If they make you feel pressure, shame, frustration, they probably aren't serving you. Once you see them for what they are, try using a new thought. Now, you have to try on a new thought like you try on clothes. Some of the ones I suggested today might not fit good for you, but that's okay. You'll find the ones that do. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening today. If you like what you hear on the podcast and you'd like to learn more, feel free to head over to my website, jamelynstephancoaching.com, or find me on Instagram or Facebook at jamelynstephancoaching.